In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this third Sunday of Pascha, brothers and sisters, we remember the myrrh-bearing women. It's an amazing story because it encapsulates what is wrong with us and how to make it right. It shows the dignity of the human spirit, and it shows how that human spirit can be raised to the knowledge of God. How so? Remember that they'd followed the Lord for 3 years. They'd seen Him speak. They'd seen Him perform miracles. They had the hope that He would be the salvation of Israel, the Messiah. But nowhere in their thoughts did they ever conceive that the Messiah would die, even though He told them from the very beginning that He would. They could not understand this. And so when He died, it was like all hope was lost. And yet they loved Him. And so they stayed by Him. It says in this selection from Mark that when Joseph and Nicodemus took down the body, the women beheld it because they were standing afar off watching. In fact, they were the only ones that stayed by the cross, with the exception of John among the apostles. And they watched. They watched their Messiah die, which didn't compute to them. So He died, and He's in the grave, and things were done so quickly because of the fact that it was the Passover, beginning to be the Passover, just before He was buried, because He died on Friday, just before the Passover would begin, before sundown. Although I suppose with the eclipse it was more or less sundown for quite some time, huh? And they had to rush the burial. Now it was the custom to anoint the body with myrrh and different spices, especially myrrh, because myrrh, not only did it smell good, but it dries things out. So they tried to stave off decay as long as they could by anointing with myrrh. And so the myrrh-bearing women wanted to do this. That's what it said. They brought aromatic spices. Myrrh was among those. It was the chief ingredient that they would use. Now they thought their Messiah was dead. And yet they still went to Him. So they didn't have complete understanding. They didn't even have really very good understanding. They thought He was dead, and He was alive. But what they had, they gave. This is a principle that should be paramount in our lives. What you have, give. What you know, act upon. The things that you don't know, you cannot know. The things that you cannot give, you cannot give. But you can give what you are able to give. And if this seems silly or obvious, it is not at all. Because most people do not give what they can give. Very few people give what they can give. Christianity is to give everything you have. At that time, at that moment. Everything within your capacity to give, you must give. The Lord said, give me your heart. So you give to Him. And this is what the myrrh-bearing women did. They didn't understand. They thought He was dead. But they gave Him their love. They wanted to go and anoint His body because of love. Not because of understanding. Because of love. And they stayed with Him. They didn't consider that He had somehow cheated them. He had said He was one thing, but actually it looks like He's another now. No, they loved Him. And they want to anoint Him. They want to anoint a living man that they thought was dead. And you know, when you just have faith, the faith that you possess, not perfect faith, but when you just have the faith that says, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to do what I can right now, then God enlightens, and you can get more faith and joy. But it comes in steps. It's not like a Hollywood movie where all of a sudden everything is perfect. No, not life isn't like that. Life is a process of becoming better or becoming worse. One or the other. There is no other choice. Better or worse. And the only way you become better is to act upon what you know. You know you should love others, you love them. If there are weaknesses in you that you are not able to love others as you should, then you at least love them as you can, as you are able. And then you become more able to love. For every virtue, if you can do it partially, then do it partially. Not to excuse yourself and say, well, you know, I'm only human. This is, everybody's like this. But what you can do, you must do. You must do what you can do. And then you become better and be able to do more. So the Myrrh-bearing women did what they could. They did what was on their heart. And they went to the sepulcher. And then they had this outlandish faith. They said, who will roll away the stone for us? The fathers take this not as a question as like, how are we going to get anybody to do that? It was more of a curiosity. Who's going to do it for us? Somebody's going to be there to do it for us. They hadn't told anybody of their plans. It was dangerous to tell people of your plans at that time of day, in that political situation. They just said, who will roll away the stone for us? Childlike, crazy faith. Didn't make any sense. But they just knew, somehow, that they were going to get in that tomb. They didn't know how, but they knew it was going to happen. Of course, they thought they were going to go into the tomb and anoint a dead man. Well, they come to the tomb, and it is open. And there is no dead man. And there is an angel. And he tells them. And he's not here. He's risen. Go and tell everybody. Now, if this was, as I said before, a Hollywood movie, then it would end with them running to the apostles and having a great joy. It didn't happen like that, did it? They couldn't understand. They couldn't assimilate what the angel had told them. They went to anoint a dead man and he wasn't there. They were confused. They were frightened. They were trembling. But later on throughout the day, some came back and Jesus appeared to Peter. He appeared to Cleopas and Luke. He appeared to the 10, right? In the upper room. And eventually, everyone knew that he truly was risen. This is how it happens with us, brothers and sisters. It happens in pieces. There's a lot missing from our understanding. There's a lot missing from our virtues. There's just a lot that should be there and isn't. Well, how's it going to get there? It won't get there by wishing for it. It'll get there by doing what you know now. You do what you can so that you'll be able to do more. Fundamentally, this is what the myrrh-bearing women did. Fundamentally, this is what Thomas did. Thomas is not an example of good faith in the beginning, is he? He said, I refuse to believe. I will not believe until I see him. And I put my hands into the print of the nails. That's not a good example of faith. And yet we hold him up as a great example of faith. We call him the one who had believing unbelief. Why? Because he did what he was able to do. He didn't abandon the Lord. He just couldn't understand. He just was weak. But he stayed with the Lord. That is, with his disciples. He didn't abandon him. And he was rewarded beyond his expectation. The same thing with Joseph and Nicodemus. They were secret followers. And now the one they secretly followed was dead. This is not really a very bright time to become brave and take down the body of their dead leader. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The one they thought would save Israel is dead. And yet, because of their love for him, they were emboldened and took him down and buried him. It doesn't make much sense to wrap up a man that you know is going to be resurrected. He'd said he would be. He gave them the sign of Jonah. They were men of the book. It's all over the Psalms, all over the prophets, that he would rise from the dead. And they didn't get it. These were the best of the best, the most learned of the learned. And they didn't understand that their Messiah was not dead and that he would rise. They didn't understand it. So they wrapped him up. Doesn't make any sense what they did. Because it was wrong, but it was also right. Because it was what they knew. They were good to what they knew. They were sincere with what they knew. So we should be that way, brothers and sisters. If we were during that period of time, we would have the same confusion. But would we have the same bravery? Would we have the same steadfastness? This is what saves, is to stick with it. He who endures to the end will be saved. And the enduring, that process of enduring, it is not a pretty picture. It is a picture of weakness and doubt and fear and falling and depravity and sin. But throughout it all, there is the grace of God that we cling to. This is how we become enlightened. I've told you many times, it applies here too. The greatest heresy of the age is that you can have salvation without labor. It's not possible. Because salvation is a fundamental changing of the kind of person we are. And it is hard to do. So it takes a lot of labor. A lot of starts and stops. Falling and getting up. But if we are sincere, then God will enlighten us. Just as he enlightened the myrrh-bearing women. Just as he enlightened Thomas and the apostles. The only time when we will not be enlightened is when we fall and we do not get up. You know that Judas did repent, right? He was sorry for what he did. It did him no good, though. Because he abandoned the Lord in his repentance, in his sorrow. Because it was not true repentance. And he hung himself and he died. And he was dead before the crucifixion began. If he had repented by going to the Lord and asking forgiveness, or even by waiting and hiding while he was crucified, and then finding his way to the apostles and begging for forgiveness, he would have been forgiven. But he didn't. He could have, but he didn't. God will forgive everything. God will enlighten everyone if we stay with him. This is what the myrrh-bearing women did, and this is what we should do. And this is the message, really, of the entire Paschal period. Enlightenment comes by degrees, but only if you act upon what you know. Then you will know more, and you will become more. Christ is risen.